Well, I am optimistic that we will have football this fall. On time is still a little bit up in the air, but as these days continue to mount, I'm thinking more and more, just based on what I hear not only about K-State, but, you know, the Big 12, these universities and programs are committed to playing in the fall and playing on time, but doing it as carefully and productively as possible with, you know, protecting these athletes. You mentioned Gene Taylor, and I appreciate that because in visiting with him, Commissioner Bowlesby, many others around the league, including my counterparts, a lot of meetings have been held, a lot of discussions have been held about what's the right way to go about this, how do we do it, you know, many, many different plans, levels of plans. I do think we'll have football, and I think we'll have it on time. Will that be the case for everybody around the country? Probably not. But I think people want it back. I think we're going to try to do what we can to make that happen.
Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Kansas City Wildcats, our guest yesterday on College and Pro Week on the Sports Ticket. And you heard him right there. He's pretty optimistic we'll have college football and that we'll actually have it on time as well. As I said, could be different for others. If you missed that whole interview with Wyatt, the voice of the K-State Wildcats, you can access that at your leisure at our website, kdcountry94.com. Click on the Sports Ticket tab and go to the podcast to hear that and previous interviews we've done on the Sports Ticket. And after we talked with Wyatt yesterday, Iowa State announced their plans for obtaining football tickets. How it's going to work is that the sale of single-game tickets for 2020 is unlikely. The athletic director, Jamie Pollard, said approximately 22,000 season tickets have been renewed for the 2020 season that's scheduled to start September 5th against South Dakota. Because of strict social distancing guidelines following the coronavirus pandemic, the 60,500-seat stadium will seat 30,000. That leaves us approximately 8,000 seats to be filled because 22,000 are season ticket holders. They're going to limit their spectators to 30,000. So we'll see if other universities will follow suit. Is that something K-State will do? For KU football, it's really not a problem because
no.
The place is half full anyway. But if it were, I guess KU could worry about it, but it would be something that K-State has to think about. What about Oklahoma? Would they consider that? I don't know about that. OU football will reopen its facilities on July 1st for voluntary workouts. The athletic department announced Tuesday, even though the NCAA Division I Council voted to allow such activities starting June 1st. And Joe Castiglione, the athletic director, said in a press release, as we have planned for the reopening of our facilities, the health of our student athletes and staff has been our top priority. It is the principal that has guided every step of our meticulous process. End of quote. The Southeastern Conference voted to allow athletes to begin voluntary workouts on June 8th. The Big 12 voted on a date of June 15th. The Big 10 decided to let individuals set their own date, and Ohio State selected June 8th. Oklahoma head football coach Lincoln Riley said in the press release, our medical personnel have told us that the safest thing we can do is keep our players off campus for as long as possible. We chose the latest point that we could bring them back and still have enough time to prepare. So everybody's going to do things a little bit differently. Oklahoma is deciding to wait longer than others in the Big 12 and across the country. So we'll see how it all plays out. I applaud Lincoln Riley for looking out for his student athletes.
Yes.
And I have to admit, I have even more respect for him and what he's doing when it comes to that. All right, Michael Jordan, caught in a lie. Listen, I watched The Last Dance, and I love Michael Jordan. I do. But if you're going to be objective, and it's hard for people in this country, because I retweeted a tweet yesterday, and then I had people making a political thing, and it wasn't a political thing, in my opinion. It was just simply for you to stop and think a little bit and read the quote a couple times, and it made sense to me. So I retweeted it, and then somehow it was political and became a battle between Democrats and Republicans. I didn't say a word. I just retweeted it. I'm like, I give up, people. Michael Jordan has lied before, just like everybody in the world has lied before, but Michael Jordan has been busted, and he's been busted in more than one way. Let's give you this one. Michael Jordan said in the Last Dance that him and Rod Thorne didn't talk. Isaiah didn't even come up about Isaiah Thomas being on the Dream Team, but there's old audio of Michael Jordan that has resurfaced in which he says, he told NBA executive Rod Thorne, who was part of the USA Basketball Selection Committee, that he wouldn't play on the Dream Team in 1992 if Detroit Pistons star point guard Isaiah Thomas was also selected to the team. And that's what I've said and you've said all along. Yeah. That's the story we knew all along, is that Jordan was like, dude, Isaiah can be on the team, but I'm just not going to be a part of it. Rod Thorne called me, and I said, Rod, I won't play if Isaiah Thomas is on the team. Jordan is heard telling reporter Jack McCollum in a 2011 interview, which was aired on his podcast, The Dream Team Tapes. Also, and in the quote, too, was Rod Thorne saying that, hey, Chuck doesn't want him on the team either, which is Charles Barkley. And that's something that other players have said or we've heard through the grapevine, is that a lot of players didn't want Isaiah. So I think it is somewhat unfair for Jordan to be labeled as the guy that kept him off the team. Jordan was the only one. Magic didn't want him on the team. Bird didn't really want him on the team. Karl Malone didn't want him on the team. There are many players in the 92 Dream Team didn't want Isaiah Thomas on the team. So why did Jordan have to lie about it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't get that part. I really don't. And the other thing that I thought he was lying about right off the bat when I heard it, and it was the way The Last Dance ended, and he said he wanted to come back and make a run of the seventh title in 9 years. You know, Steve would have come back, and Dennis would have come back, and Judd would have come back on one-year deals, which I think is very interesting because I'm not convinced they all would have, because some of them would have got more money elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Kerr is going to take a one-year, $5 million deal with the Bulls instead of 2-for-11 in San Antonio. Okay, maybe. Maybe he would have. I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But and Pippen was going to be a free agent, all right? And then they ended a sign-and-trade and got rid of him after Jordan, you know, stepped away. But Sam Smith, who was a writer of a couple books with Michael Jordan, including The Jordan Rules, he came out the other day, and he said it's a blatant lie when Jordan says that he wanted to come back for a seventh title. And that's what I've said all along.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan had no intention of coming back for a seventh. But now, years later, it is convenient for him to say in The Last Dance that he wanted to come back for another run. When he was exhausted, so forth and so on. Sam Smith, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me, Sam Smith basically said that when there's the lockout, remember, was after that season, okay? Yeah. Now, after the 98 season, NBA season, when the Bulls knocked off the Jazz in six games, there was the lockout. And Jerry Krause went back to Michael Jordan and said, you know, hey, you know, Phil's... Sam Smith said, listen, everybody knew that was close to the Bulls that Phil Jackson had already said he wanted a year off because he was eyeing the Lakers job because he knew that it was getting to the end with these guys, with their age.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil Jackson was going to take a one-year sabbatical. No matter what was going to happen, he was going to take the next year off. So then it was a matter of, well, Michael, will you come back? And when the lockout started to take place and take shape, according to Sam Smith, the Bulls went back to Jordan. And Jordan said, I'm done. I had to practically carry the team. Scotty's back was an issue last year. Dennis is crazy. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I believed all along. Jordan had no intent of coming back. That was it. He got a 2 three-peats. He knows as well as anybody that team was old, and they barely won it the last year. So could they have brought everybody back and won a seventh title in 9 years? It's possible. Would the players have put up with Jordan's, you know, toughness another year? Don't know. Maybe some players would have been sick of it and tired of it and would have left after 98 once they got the three-peat again. I have no idea, but I do know when I heard Jordan say that, I didn't believe it. Right away, I did not believe it. Like, at first, I wanted to believe it because I'm like, oh, my God, the Bulls blew it up and Jordan would have been back. I missed out on another year of Jordan in his prime. But then I got to thinking, no. That's not how I remember it.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't really think it was that big of a revelation, I guess, at the end of it. As I was watching it, I'm like, I don't think that's true. Like, I don't believe it.
It is a big revelation because, to me, he's lying about it.
Well, yeah, he's lying about it. But like you said, you go back to that last interview that he had right after the game. He's like, yeah, if we can do it, we'd like to come back for a seventh.
Of course, what else is he going to say?
Yeah, but it's the same type of deal, you know. I think it's the same thing in his mind saying it now as it was then.
Right.
I know this isn't going to happen.
Right.
So I can say I want seven because I need Phil. Phil's the first part of this. If Phil doesn't come back, it's not going to happen.
Right.
And I can say what I want about it.
Exactly.
That's the way I felt about it then. Yes. That's the way I feel about it
when
he said it now. It was like, yeah, I don't believe that, but whatever. You can say what you want, Mike. I don't believe it.
It's your docuseries, basically. You can say whatever you want, and he does on that. And I understand why he says that part. But the thing with Isaiah Thomas, I mean, just be a man. Like, dude, yeah, I didn't want him on the team. You told him, you said he's an A, you know what, around the docuseries. I mean, just come out and say, yeah, me and many other players were asked about Isaiah. We all said, you can even say we all or most. He threw a lot of other guys under the bus in this docuseries. Why not throw the whole Dream Team under the bus, too, and say, hey, we didn't want him on the team. You know, and we know Barkley didn't, and we know that Magic didn't, and Isaiah had a history with Bird. And Karl Malone didn't like him because Karl gave him a forearm to the head that took him 40 stitches the next year, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Karl didn't like Isaiah at all. So half the team didn't like him. So do you think he was going to be on the team? No, it wasn't just Jordan. But Jordan was the focal point because he was the best player in the world at the time and maybe of all time.
Yes.
So that's why it worked that way. The NHL regular season officially over. The commissioner announcing yesterday, Gary Bettman, that the league will transition into a 24-team conference-based playoff format when play resumes. There's no set start date for the return of play. Two hub cities, one for Eastern Conference games and one for Western Conference games, will be announced at a later date, and so forth and so on. There's a phase two, there's a phase three, there's a phase four. I'm not going to waste time going over it. You can read it for yourself at CBSSports.com, and so forth and so on. Not really, they're not really sure exactly how they're going to do this whole thing, whether it's going to be bracket play per se or going straight from seeding. But the first round would be a best of five. Second round, best of seven. Conference finals, Stanley Cup finals would be a best of seven. So that's the NHL's plan. Major League Baseball still trying to put something together. Right now the players and the owners are way, way apart on agreeing on compensation. It's been reported the highest. There's a new proposal out there from the owners to the Players Association. Players Association not happy with it. It's being reported the highest paid players under the new owner's proposal, and this is Major League Baseball, the highest paid players would receive perhaps less than 40% of their full season salaries, while players making the league minimum might get all or most of their prorated salary. The possibility of all players having to take a reduction is part of the league's proposal as well. Obviously, can you imagine when they're talking about not getting 50% of your pay and this and that and whatever else, especially for the richer guys? The player association is not going to be happy about it. And guess who has the most power? The guys that make the most money.
Yeah.
That's why they do that. Listen, I think it makes some sense. I mean, the guys that really need the money are the guys making league minimum. The guy that they, you give them, if you take away 60% of their salary, that's going to hurt them a lot more than taking away 60% from Mike Trout.
Yeah.
You know, so I get that part. But at the same time, I understand what the Players Association is. If we allow this to happen, who knows what's next?
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, people think of players as maybe greedy. The players usually lose in the court of public opinion. We've discussed this before on the show. Here's one for you from the NBA. I love Damian Lillard. I love his game. I love watching him play. I don't agree with what he said. And I'm amazed at how many people have come to his defense, former players on top of it all, who apparently weren't competitors.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Rose is one of them, and I'm disappointed. I like Jalen Rose. On Tuesday, Damian Lillard announced that if the NBA is returning to play meaningless regular season games, the Portland Trailblazers guard doesn't plan on participating. One guy, David Sampson, don't know who he is, somebody in the media, said, Damian Lillard, if I'm the owner of the Portland Trailblazers, guess what I'm doing to you? I'm suspending you. I'm restricting you. If you have now given me cause that you're not going to play, you will not get paid. If we come back and they're just like, we're adding a few games to finish the regular season. This is Lillard, by the way, back to Lillard. If we come back and they're just like, we're adding a few games to finish the regular season and they're throwing us out there for meaningless games and we don't have a true opportunity to get in the playoffs, I'm going to be with my team because I'm a part of the team, but I'm not going to participate. I'm telling you that right now, and you can put that bleep in there. End of quote. Lillard did admit that he's willing to be with his teammates, but doesn't see the point of returning to the court. As of now, Portland is 3.5 games out of the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. If the NBA picked up where it left off, the Blazers would have 16 more games to play. The team ahead of them in the standings has 17 games to play. So they're 3.5 games out with 17 to play. You can overcome that. It's not going to be easy, but you can. So here are so many problems I have with this Damian Lillard quote. And I am very surprised that people in the media have rushed to his support. This is how hypocritical the media is. So let me get this right. Scottie Pippen quitting on his team for one play, vilified.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Lillard quitting on his team, if there's going to be regular season games left to play, quitting on his team when they're 3.5 games out of a final playoff spot, he should be applauded for that. I'm confused. Isn't that the ultimate quitting on your team? Isn't the ultimate selfish thing to do? I mean, we know all about load management. Now, I understand if Lillard's talking about, we're going to come back with 5 regular season games, and then we're going to playoffs. Well, we're 3.5 back. We ain't going to catch you. Although, technically, you could.
Yeah.
So technically, you still could. So, you basically given up. But if they come back and say, we're going to play 10, 15 regular season games or finish out the regular season schedule, Damian Lillard needs to play because his team still has a chance to make the playoffs. I don't like this at all. I really don't. I've lost some respect for Damian Lillard with these comments. I understand where he's coming from. At the same time, then don't get mad when you don't get paid. If you're not going to play, you shouldn't get paid. It's as simple as that. If you are going to quit on the team in this situation and you're saying you're not going to play when the season returns, then you can be comfortable not getting a paycheck.
Yes.
That's how I feel about it. Listen, fans pay to watch you play. Even if you're out of it, you still are I mean, your job is to play professional basketball. So let me ask you this. This is where the Pandora's box opens. For those people that defend Damian Lillard with this comment and come to his defense, which are some ex-jocks that I absolutely don't understand. I mean, Michael Jordan couldn't be very happy if he heard a teammate saying anything like this. Are you kidding me?
No.
Michael Jordan said we owed it to fans to put it out there. Jordan would play every single game, every single night. And, you know, had he not, he probably prolonged his career a little bit. Who knows? He might have come back for a seventh title in 9 years, or went to another team after 98 because he might add more gas in the tank. But he always left it out there. And that's what I loved about Jordan. He gave it his all, it seemed, all the time. That's why I love George Brett. He always hustled down the first baseline because people are paying money to see you play. Mm-hmm. You are a professional. You know, do you want to go pay, you know, $20 to the movie theater or $10, whatever it is, for a ticket and concessions to watch an actor half, you know what it, when he's acting? No, you want to see a really good product. Sports is entertainment, okay? So here's my question. If people want to come to defense of Damian Lillard, what's why do people play for the Florida Marlins? why do the Royals play? Are the Royals going to win a World Series in 2020? Yeah. Most people say no. Now, is that giving up before you start? Sure, it is. But you're giving up here. You're giving up here. I think Damian Lillard needs to be a little bit more specific. Is he saying, if we come back and only have a few games, like 2 games or 4 games or 6 games, and I'm out, what number is he cutting this off at?
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, if they come back with 5 games, well, you're 3.5 games out. You can catch the Grizzlies and make the playoffs. So is he meaning that they're only going to play 3 games and they're 3.5 out, so they're already mathematically eliminated, so he's out and he's not going to play? A lot of people would say, okay, that makes some sense. Why risk getting hurt? And I do get that, and I do think there's a bit of a double standard. Well, you rest your starters in a football game, the fans pay money, you rest your starters in game 17, NFL season, and protect them. Mm-hmm. It is hard to be consistent with this argument. There's no question about it. But for me, if you're going to give up, but those players aren't giving up. They know they're going into the playoffs. Yeah. That's a little bit different. Damian Lillard's saying, we pretty much know we're not going to the playoffs. We want a true opportunity to get there. But here's the thing. What about these teams that know they're horrendous, teams that are tanking, that have no chance of playing? What if that one of those players just said, you know what, we have no true opportunity to win a championship or make it to the playoffs, so I'm just not going to play. When I feel like it, I will. But I want to get paid. I mean, how would that go over?
Not well.
Not well. So I don't like Damian Lillard coming out and saying this. First of all, I don't think he needed to, because you don't even know the plan yet.
Yeah.
So why shoot your mouth off and say that? You just put yourself in the crosshairs for people like me to criticize you for looking like somewhat of a spoiled brat.
Yeah.
And how would you think your teammates are going to take to this? Should the rest of your teammates just not play and you forfeit the game since you have no true opportunity to make the playoffs? You're not going to play. Why should the rest of your teammates play? And why should you even be on the bench if you're not going to play because you chose not to? It's one thing if you got hurt. It's one thing if you got sick, you had a family emergency, or you're mourning the loss of a loved one, fine. We got players that have played after losing loved ones, like, immediately the next day.
Yeah.
Okay? We've seen this in sports. But Damian Lillard, well, we have no true chance of making the playoffs, so I'm not going to play. What the bleep is that?
I don't like it at all.
I can't stand it.
You can have... whoever the worst team in the league is, like the Hawks, they come back and nobody wants to play because they're so far out that even if they finish the season, they're already eliminated.
Exactly. You know? How about all
even
the teams that are eliminated?
Left.
How about all the teams that are eliminated? Does that mean, here, I got them right here. I can tell you who's all eliminated. The Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry shouldn't play, right? Steph Curry can't wait to play. Steph Curry shouldn't play. The Minnesota Timberwolves, Carl Anthony Towns shouldn't play. They're eliminated. DeAndre Ayton, Phoenix Suns, Devin Booker shouldn't play. The Spurs, you know, let's just go through all your stars on the Spurs. DeRozan shouldn't play. Let's go to the Eastern Conference. Trae Young shouldn't play, right? Blake Griffin shouldn't play for the Pistons. Knicks don't have anybody good. The Bulls, whoever their star is. Charlotte, they're out of it. The Wizards, you know, John Wall doesn't play anyway. Bradley Beal shouldn't play. They're eliminated. I mean, where does it end? Well, we're an 8 seed, and we're the Magic. We have no chance of beating the Bucks in the playoff series, so what's the point of playing? That annoys me. It really, really irritates me when a professional player says something like Damian Lillard did. And what really hurts me is I really like the dude. Mm-hmm. He's done good things. He's not a horrible person from what I know. He's fun to watch. And that's another reason why I'm disappointed, because I love to watch him selfishly. If I pay or watch TV, I want to watch him play. So Steph Curry isn't coming out and saying these things, and they're way out of it. They have no chance.
No.
So I that irritates me. And if I'm a teammate, if people are going to vilify Scottie Pippen for quitting on his team in a playoff game because he was upset that the play wasn't drew up for him, then how can you possibly be on the other side of the argument saying you're all for Damian Lillard to sit out games that are meaningless? Okay, you can argue, well, Pippen sat out the final play. That wasn't meaningless. Well, but a lot of people playing games is meaningful because it's your job.
Yeah.
But you could also argue load management. Well, Wade, you should get all over LeBron James for sitting out a game. You should get all over Anthony Davis for sitting out a game. Or Kawhi Leonard's a great example of load management. You got to get on Kawhi Leonard for not playing. That's an organization standpoint. And haven't you guys said that it's probably smart in regards to load management? Yeah, and it probably is smart if you're the Trailblazers to have your highest paid player to not risk getting hurt if you're eliminated from the playoffs. But if that's the case, the Warriors should sit all their starters and wait for next year, right? Let's just forfeit.
Yeah.
Why not just forfeit? Put out an inferior product all the way across the board, sit all your stars. And once we start doing that, then you've got a Pandora's box that you can't put back in.
No. I get the concept of load management. I still don't support it.
I don't either.
I get it, but it's not.
And I get what Lillard's trying to say as well. I'm not naive. I understand what he's saying. It's not really risking. What's the point of me going out there? Da, da, da. Well, what if this? What would you have still played? Let's say they were six games back with 10 to play. Would he still play? If it was just nothing happened with COVID-19, of course he would.
Yeah.
If there's six games to play and are six back, I would think he'd still play. So as soon as they're eliminated, is he just quitting? What if the Blazers get eliminated with a month to go in the season? He's just going to quit playing? I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, no. If this all doesn't happen, then none of this is being talked about. That's for sure. I mean, if you have just a regular season with no distractions or no interruptions, I don't think these things are coming into his mind. Of course, you're going to finish the season that way, too, and you still have 15 games or whatever, 16 to make up 3.5. But, yeah, I just... I don't know. I just feel like if you're being paid by an organization to play, you should go play. And if you don't play, you don't get paid.
Right.
And if you don't get paid, you can't complain.
Right.
And that's the bottom line for me is this is my job. Like I said, what if I said I'm not coming in here the next 5 days because they're meaningless days and I don't need to do anything today?
Right.
I don't think my employer's going to like that. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not going to be like, oh, okay, just stay home then. We're good with it. We'll keep giving you your paycheck. And
sure.
So whatever, do what you want to do.
Right.
That's what it is. I mean, it's just go to work and do your job. if you're back at it, if your job is happening, if your job has returned, I can't think of anybody that would just be like, no, I'm not going to do it.
Well, Lillard,
because in the real world, you don't get paid if you don't go to your
job. No, that's exactly right. If Damian Lillard says that, he should also say, and so I am cool with not getting paid, but he doesn't say that, does he?
No.
No, of course not. If you don't do your job, why should you get paid for it? Well, apparently, we know a lot of players still get paid for not doing their job, and we know a lot of entertainers do, and we know that a lot of coaches that get fired still get paid for being horrible at their jobs.
Yeah, for years after that.
Yeah. See Charlie Weiss.